Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
His living soul searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, praise God. Welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And you are listening to Kathleen McCarthy. And as always, it is an honor and a privilege to come across these airwaves through your love, your support, and your generosity. This is the second Tuesday of the month. This is our pro-life day. Of course, this ministry in itself is a pro-life ministry, pro-life, pro-family. And we're blessed to be able to have on the second Tuesday of every month, Edel Finnegan. And she is the executive director of the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And we're waiting for Edel to call in. And in the meantime, I wanted to begin today by reading the gospel. As I say so often, many times we don't really have an opportunity to go to daily mass. And the scriptures really do sort of wash us clean and bathe us in the living word of God. And we're told that God's word is living and effective. So join me as we read the gospel for today. And hopefully his word will go forth and do a mighty work in all of our hearts. We know when God's word goes forth, it never returns void, but it does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing. And this is the gospel today. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I'm going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth. It is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." And that is the gospel of the Lord. And we have Edel calling in, and we are going to go to her on the line right now. We'll come back to the gospel. Edel, how are you?
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing?
Good. Good to have you on the air again.
Well, I'm happy to be on the air again.
For those of you who might have just tuned in, I have on the line Edel Finnegan, and she's just a joy to be with. She's very articulate. She's in regards to all aspects of pro-life, what's going on in the pro-life movement, and all the different things that we can do to help be effective and in pursuing the goals for life, because every child from the moment of conception is precious in the sight of God, and we have to protect the dignity of every person. And so today we welcome Edel, and Edel is the executive director, as I said, of the Pro-Life Union of the Southeastern Pennsylvania. So with that, just welcome once again. And I just wanted to ask you, there's so many things going on right now, of course, and I want to discuss a little bit the person that Obama had just nominated.
Our probable new Supreme Court Justice,
yep.
Elena Kagan.
Elena Kagan, exactly right. And what say you about Elena Kagan? I mean, there's all kinds of, stories going around, and, she is billed as a progressive, but we know that she has very, very, very strong left ties. And what do you think about her?
Well, the first thing I would say is obviously our president is the most pro-abortion president we have ever had in office.
Right.
He clearly sees the Constitution differently than many of us do, actually different than many Americans do.
Yes.
He's one of those people that sees the Constitution as a living document that's always, sort of unfolding with the times.
Mm-hmm.
He would pick someone who sort of agrees with that general philosophy, which is what led us to Roe versus Wade, which was that you can invent a right to privacy that would allow the legal killing of unborn children. And so she, I'm sure, agrees with that. Oh, it seems like she doesn't have much of a paper trail.
Yes.
On certain issues, and that's just to make her make her sort of confirmation easier.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is she seems to be very off on the marriage issue.
Yes.
And that's a real problem, because that's a big life issue, life and family issue that we will be, forging ahead in the coming years. The people who believe in a different view of marriage other than marriage as a man and a woman are just pushing, 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 and we often don't fight back because we don't want to seem discriminatory and we don't want to seem judgmental. And so that's really a problem, that some of these laws that we have on the states protecting marriage between a man and a woman, that she might be one of those people, one of those cases could come before her, and she would undermine that general philosophy. And then I think on the abortion issue, it sounds like she went after some pro-life advocates in the early 80s. It sounds like she really has a socialist background.
Yes.
She believes in socialism, but so does our president. So
no
that's
shock
why
there,
he would.
Right?
The one thing that I would say about this is, a lot of the news media is saying it'll be an easy confirmation because pro-Republicans and they don't want there to be a fight, and they feel like she's not going to be that much different than the seat that's being vacated. So the court will still be split kind of evenly.
Mm-hmm.
We have our people, they have their people. But that's really the wrong view, because we should be fighting to have the court interpret the Constitution the way it's meant to be.
Exactly.
And that's with the idea, really, of natural law backing it. That's really the basis for our Constitution, hopefully. And we want people to see it that way. So we should fight this, even if we don't end up winning the fight, because we don't have the votes in the Senate.
Exactly.
Conservatives and Republicans should be willing to fight this and go to the mat over it, because those issues need to be discussed, and Americans want to see them discussed. And if anything, in the last, year or so, we've seen that more Americans want to be informed, and they want to know what's going on. And so that's, I guess I would say to anyone who, challenges that view that we shouldn't fight this, I would really disagree with that. I think we should fight it.
I agree. I hope everybody calls their congressmen and
particularly the senators. Although
senators,
we don't have the best people in the world right now for us, but Casey,
he's still
he's always gettable, I guess. He's a Catholic, and he's hopefully wants to stay that way. And I was just talking to someone today, actually it was one of my clients. And she was saying to me, it was so funny because I had this conversation with someone yesterday, that prayer is such an important part of things. And she said, really, We just have to pray to change our hearts and to change other people's hearts. Mm. And it is really true. You know, we really have to try to do that.
Well, absolutely. It isn't going to happen without the power of prayer behind mm-hmm. every action.
Yeah.
And of course, we are well aware of that. But, you know, according to the Rasmussen poll, the newest one that was just out with this Elena Kagan Supreme Court nomination, and obviously she will be confirmed. As you said, we don't have the votes, but we can certainly put forth the objections very clearly, let people see there is a definite objection to her being nominated. And we do have elections coming up, and so certainly those that would you know, stand and bring forth the entire picture of who Elena Kagan really is. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. And the poll, as I was saying, have a pretty much split. They show Americans are split on the nomination, and she is a pro-abortion solicitor for sure. And one-third support her, one-third oppose her, and the final third remain unsure. So most Americans do say that she will be confirmed because we know where the votes stand with the Senate. So
right. But it's just, you know, one more, I guess, battle in this general war that we're in.
Right.
Really. And I think that it just as pro-lifers, as people that are committed to the Constitution and to the idea of natural law, you know, I think that's something that people really need to kind of understand. It's just the natural law,
right?
That our Constitution is sort of based on it, right? And that's fundamental, you know, to the understanding of any right. And we need to be aware of that, because sometimes I think as pro-lifers we feel like we can't argue with people unless it's on a religious basis, which that's always part of it, I think. But it's the natural law is written on every person's heart.
That's right.
And it's written on Elena Kagan's heart. It's written on President Obama's heart. And when they do these things that are sort of in contrast with the natural law, that violate the natural law, their conscience is pricked on some level. And we have to be able to proudly say that and prick their conscience even more. And you know, just learn to fight these things and educate ourselves, which you're always telling people to do. And, you know, we're always just encouraging people to do that because information, you know, is the key in a lot of these issues.
Of course. And I think that's why it's important that we do, you know, bring in people, especially the Supreme Court, that are true people who believe in the Constitution and they read it as such.
Right.
And I think another person coming in like this, you know, a lot of, you know, the last two people, this one and of which I'm sure she will be confirmed. I would love to be wrong on that subject. But I also know that the last person that he brought up for confirmation went in with no problem. And
that is, again, because some of our Republican senators, they don't want these fights.
Right.
And I think they're learning that they're going to need to have these fights. You know, they're going to need to get engaged, I guess.
Well, that's the only way the public really finds out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very true. That's interesting about that Rasmussen poll, too. Anyway, and so then and next week we have our primary election here in the state of Pennsylvania. So that's something important for everyone to be paying attention to and on board with.
And we can make a difference at the polls. I mean, we've seen that recently.
Right, sure.
And, of course, we know in Pennsylvania in particular, we have a very special job to get done. But really across the board, mm-hmm. I think nobody has listened to the voice of the people, that's for sure.
Right.
All the grassroots people, whether it's a Tea Party or whoever it is, they're sort of poo-pooed them.
Yeah.
And the only way that we can have our voices heard is to go to the polls and make a difference. This is probably, in my own lifetime, one of the most
important.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Adele. So I think it's important that we realize that it is probably in our lifetime the most important election we'll ever have. If we want our, man, pardon me. If we want our voices heard, then we're going to have to get well informed, know who the candidates are, and pull that lever to get those that we don't feel are belong in office, get them out of office, and vote the people in office who will abide by the Constitution, who will believe in that they're there to represent the people and not vice versa.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I was watching last night, I was watching TV, and there was an ad for Arlen Specter, and I thought, I cannot believe that he is still running. But he is.
He is, indeed. That's why I was saying we have a very important
job to do.
Yeah, job to do in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and it's really, when you think of, I mean, just sort of what kind of person it takes to think that he should be running again.
There it goes to show you. That's why I said, if you want your voice heard and you want to make a difference in the world, and you want to make a difference in your country as a United States citizen, then we have an obligation to get well-informed, know who we are voting for, know why we're voting people out of office and people into office.
Yeah, and I would say that I'm looking here at the Chester County Voters Guide, mm-hmm. and for the U.S. Senator, for the primary next week, we both Pat Toomey and Peg Luxick are considered pro-life, although it seems Pat Toomey does have some exceptions. But on the Democrat side, actually, there's, you know, Specter and then there's Sestak, who are both avidly pro-abortion.
Exactly.
And Joe Sestak has the special place of being a pro-abortion Catholic who graduated from Cardinal O'Hara.
Well,
so to just make sure you're not voting for him if you're a Democrat. And that there is one pro-life Democrat running, actually, on the Democratic side, on the Democrat side. And I'm just going to give you his name.
Okay.
It's VODVARKA. His first name is Joseph. And I think, especially in primaries, to the degree that you can sort of put forth a candidate that most reflects your views, oftentimes in a general election, we need to be a little bit more, okay, who has, like, a better chance of, or we'll often just say, you know, who has the better chance of winning,
right,
to defeat so-and-so. And so sometimes, you know, we have to make those judgment calls and those prudential decisions. And, you know, pro-lifers and conservatives fight among themselves about how that should all play out. But I'd just say, certainly in a primary election where you can put forth the person that's just most reflects your views, I think that's really important to do.
I agree.
So there's pro-life Democrats that are out there. I would really get out to the polls and make sure you put forth that vote for Joseph. It looks like Vodvarka.
Okay.
Not vodka.
Okay.
Looks a little bit like that. But. So that's coming up next Tuesday, which is important for all of us.
Absolutely.
To pay attention. And I know some people, we have some information here, so people could call about, you know, if they're not sure, we can maybe mail something out.
What's your website?
Our website is prolifeunion.org.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a whole lot of election information up there now, but we will probably in the next few days.
Right. And I know Priests for Life also.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on their website.
Yes.
And they always have, a complete list, everything about the candidates, what your vote will do and how mm-hmm. you're going to vote. So there's another one, and Life International, another good source.
Yeah, you Human Life International.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Human Life International. And, be prepared. This primary coming up is most important. Everybody was in shock in Massachusetts. They thought it could never happen.
Yeah.
And, we're talking about Ted Kennedy's seat. Who would have thought? And this is the power of the people. And my brothers and sisters, the power remains with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a difference. Don't ever let anybody think that you can't make a difference. So may the spirit of the living God fall upon everybody in this primary. And through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, may we all get out, make a vote count, and look at these, all these different, I'm not telling somebody to vote Republican, Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling all of our listeners to get well-informed. Know your candidates, know what they stand for, or do they have your views? And if you believe that your views for life are worth fighting for, then get out to those primaries and make a difference. And the whole, you know, this can be when you say, oh, well, this person could never lose. Why bother even going out for the primary? Because your voice will be heard and the parties will listen. So, again, make a difference. Get well informed and then go out there and use your God-given right to pull the lever. There's something else I wanted to bring up. I know the grand jury is about ready to probe that abortion practitioner who killed that woman.
Gosnell?
Yeah, Gosnell.
Mm-hmm.
And
your friend.
Yeah,
so Pennsylvania really, we've really been in the news.
Yes, indeed.
The national news, mm-hmm. Sadly, notoriously, about some of our abortion practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Are really our abortionists. So,
absolutely.
It looks like his facility will be shut down permanently.
I'm surprised it isn't already. That's what I'm really, because we talked about this a month ago.
Well, because they always, he'd been shut down before, Mr. Gosnell.
Right.
And he didn't respond to all the charges against him. And so I think the health department is moving forward with shutting him down.
Mm-hmm.
But the other horrific story, which I hope everyone's aware of, is the DHS story.
Yes, that
from
was
from last week.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about that for those who are not informed about it?
Well, just in a general sense, what happened, there was a young woman, and she was basically forced by the Department of Human Services to abort her child.
Right.
She really didn't want to. Her foster mother didn't want her to. But they forced this girl to have this abortion, and she was a little bit farther along as well.
Right.
So, and then that's opened up this whole story about funding. Is DHS promoting and funding abortions? And sad to say, this is just confirmation of suspicions many of us have already had.
That's right.
That the Department of Human Services and the Philadelphia DHS, that's sort of the acronym by which they are known, is truly, they've had so many issues and they've been so notorious. Like there have been children, you know, that have been killed in their care. There's had to be like oversights and, you know, people looking at this organization. And then you find out that part of, you know, the money that they're giving is going to possibly pay for abortions and then for forcing a young girl against her will to have an abortion. And just, like, the horrific nature of that. And I keep saying that, you know, we're not sure exactly how we're going to move forward with this and what we're asking, but Seth Williams is our district attorney in Philadelphia, so those Philadelphia residents that might be listening should really be calling his office.
Mm-hmm.
And asking him to sort of investigate and prosecute these violations of the Abortion Control Act that are happening. You know, using state money to pay for abortions through DHS.
Right.
To, you know, undermine these parental notification laws and then, you know, the Gosnell Clinic as well.
Right.
So both of those things. And I was saying that actually what we really need in the state of Pennsylvania is a task force on abortion.
Yeah, we
so,
have
you know,
a task
let's say
force.
Our next governor. You know, hopefully it'll be, you know, somebody that agrees with us on this issue. We'll start a task force to really investigate these violations of the Abortion Control Act.
Because obviously this isn't the first time that,
it's happened before.
Exactly. And if there really is such a thing as an investigation really taking place, mm-hmm. then, I mean, it's obvious that something has to be done to protect these children.
Mm-hmm.
And state, you know, the taxpayers' money, because I agree they try to circumvent the system and use money,
mm-hmm.
taxpayers' money, to provide for these abortions, and that's horrific that they would take our money and funnel it in such a way that they would undermine the people of Pennsylvania and just go ahead and use that money. And I believe that has taken place. We'll see with this full investigation, but I don't think it's the first time. And there have certainly been hardcore suspicions of this for quite some time in many different instances with the DHS.
It really have been.
So
it's just one of those other... someone in the office was saying the other day, you know, we need to always be on guard because evil never sleeps.
That's right.
you know, it wants more and more power. It's like a disease that feeds on itself. And it wants to get more and more people involved. You know, like when a child is doing something that's wrong,
right?
He wants to get other people oftentimes because he wants to feel better about himself. And that's kind of what happens, I think, a lot with evil. And we don't, you know, a lot of times we're afraid to confront it. You know, there's a lot of fear with that.
Right.
Because we know it's difficult and we know it's challenging. But, you know, we really have to make sure that we fight them getting away with us.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And a task force would be wonderful. However,
yeah,
unless the people make enough noise about it, doubtful that one will be put in place.
Yeah.
But again, if you are interested in making a difference, then call Seth Williams' office.
Yeah,
and
that would
demand.
Be a good thing to do, I think.
Yeah, and demand.
So, you know, what's going on with this industry? You know, shouldn't you be... Aren't there violations of the Abortion Control Act?
Right.
And, you know, DHS, the head of DHS, you know, allowing this to happen. It was really quite the horrific story. And this poor girl, what she's had to suffer, because it's so, so easy to forget, you know, these stories become just stories.
Yeah.
That there's an individual young woman who's lost her child to the tragedy of abortion. And in this case, it really wasn't of her own free will. You know,
such a violation. Yeah, she was coerced, right.
Yeah, really coerced, you know, because when you're a foster child, you don't really have, you're really a ward of the state in a lot of ways, even though your foster parents are kind of in charge of you. You're still, you haven't been, like, officially adopted, so you're still considered kind of a ward of the state.
Mm.
So it must have been really challenging and hard for this girl. She probably didn't know what to do. You know, because you're always going to be afraid anyway when you're pregnant.
Sure.
You're not sure what to do. So, and, you know, and they'll probably try to say, well, she kind of wanted this. Well, the other thing is kids don't always know what's good for them, you know, which is why we make laws restricting abortion.
Right.
You know? It's getting, you know, it's just really these things that we have to get out there and fight about.
And it is important. It's not going to happen if the people do not make a noise.
Right.
You know, the status quo is just like you said, oh, it was a story, it passed, it's over with. But if the people begin to demand that an investigations take place to see if there was indeed something done that was out of order, and, you know, that's how it happens. That's how the people make a difference. And if we don't call, if we don't write a letter, then nothing happens. They work for us. I say it time and time again. It's not the other way around. And that's why I think it's so important, this election come up, in particular when you think about it. You know, the first person that, you know, Obama put in, of course, was Sotomayor. Now it looks like Kagan's going to go in. And of course, Ginsburg will be retiring. And
yeah, I'm surprised she hasn't yet already.
So. I'm wondering myself. Everybody thought she would maybe even retire first.
Mm-hmm.
However, with those three picks alone, it can certainly ensure three more decades of Roe versus Wade. So that's why it's important to make a difference now.
Right.
And that's why I keep hitting this point about getting out and making, you know, making your vote count.
Well, another thing on that same topic is that one of the ways that President Obama was so successful in winning the last election was he would have, you know, was very technologically savvy and things like that.
Yes.
He had a lot of people like that. One of the other things was that his campaign team did a great job with early voting and registering to vote.
Right.
So I would just say for anyone that's listening right now and they're thinking of something that they can do that maybe isn't like as, you know, as confrontational as other things are, is in your parish, in a lot of churches, they will, you know, oftentimes parishes shy away from, you know, voters' guides and things like that, but they don't shy away from registering to vote campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
So starting May 19th, so the day after the election, next on Tuesday, until about 30 days before the fall election, you can register to vote. And it's what we want people to do is in their parishes to run register to vote campaign drives, because a lot of people aren't registered to vote. So they're unhappy with things. They don't like the way things are going. They don't like what they're seeing in their country, mm-hmm. but they're not registered to vote.
Right.
And so that's one of the things we want people to do. And we have some of the information here. And we're going to get some signs made up so that you could put it in the back of your church and just have like a little table.
Right.
Register to vote. And most pastors would be totally for that. You know, they wouldn't question that.
Yes.
And then when you have those, you can also have on the table little voters' guides for serious Catholics that you can get from Priest for Life or from Catholic Answers. And it's just how to vote. So you can say to people, this is why it's important to vote a certain way.
Well, we're going to take a little break, Edel, and that was a great point. Well, I'd like to come back again and hit that again.
Okay.
Because I think it is important. It's a very proactive thing that we can do beforehand. And I agree with you 100% that he had the greatest turnout because he went out and his people that were working along with him were very technologically savvy, mm-hmm. and they indeed got the vote out. They said it was, they never dreamed it would be such a powerful, strong vote. And we can do that again, and we can do it for the right reasons this time. We want change, too. And we don't want this kind of change. We don't want these kind of judges that, and if you're going to leave them in one more, you're going to let them in again, then we have to think about another Supreme Court judge retiring,
right.
And it'll make all the difference in the world. So I have with us today the lovely Edel Finnegan. And she is not in the office today, but she is on the air. Feel free to give us a call if you have a particular question maybe that you'd like to ask Edel.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. I was just telling, we're back on the air, and I was just telling everyone maybe they have a question that they have for you. Maybe they'd like to ask a question about the primary. Maybe they'd like to find out a little bit more about what they can do. And again, I'm speaking to Edel Finnegan. She's the executive director of the Pro-Life Union. She is not in the office, but she is on the line today, and the Pro-Life Union of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And Edel is a delight. She's probably one of the most articulate and informed pro-life people that if you have a question, she'd be glad to answer it. Maybe you have a story that you'd like to share. Edel knows very well I'm always looking for some story that can encourage people to continue to fight the good fight and run the good race. It is, it's not easy out there in the trenches. But every so often, we hear about a story. Edel usually has a story, or I'll have a story. But about why your efforts make a difference and how it can save a life. And so I just want to encourage you to give a call, 610-527-2906. Again, 610-527-2906. Or you can call anywhere else, totally toll-free, 1-888-343-2484. And again, Edel Finnegan is on the line. So praise God. Edel, I just want to get in a little bit more before we go into another subject matter. Just want to hit the what you were talking about. One of the things that we can do that really isn't, your pastors would probably have no problem with whatsoever, and that is getting up a campaign to register to vote and asking your pastor about that, and maybe setting up a little table in the back of the vestibule. And that is absolutely a great idea.
Yeah, we're really trying to, there's a few things that conservatives and particularly pro-life people are trying to do in the upcoming months to sort of take back the country, I guess is how I would say it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is just the registering to vote that so many of us are just not register to vote. So many people that are upset with the direction the country is going in, so many people who are upset about the health care passage, that those people are not actually registered to vote. And we really need them to be, because we need their votes, particularly in the general election.
Mm.
We don't want Arlen Specter in again. You know, we want a pro-lifer, we want a conservative, we want someone who reflects the values of Pennsylvania as our senator. And the only way that's going to happen is people getting out there and register to vote. So you can register to vote. There's like all this information online. But we are trying to get people who are committed to do these registration things at their parish. And pastors actually love to do that. And voter registration people love when people do that at churches. Like it's like all around good thing. Everybody sees it as a good thing. Because it's encouraging people to exercise their civic duty. And, you know, to get involved in building a culture of life. This is, like, one of the ways that you can do it. And it's really not controversial because you're not telling anyone how to vote.
Right.
You are encouraging them to follow their conscience and inform their conscience according to Catholic teaching. And you can hand out that information or have that information available at the same time you're doing your voter registration drive at your parish. So you can contact us here at the Union, and our number is 215-885-8150. I would wait until after the primary to do one of these, maybe in the summer or some Sunday or some weekend at your parish. So you could call us about getting the sign, and we'll try to get some voter registration ballots, too. So that's one of the big things that we're trying to do.
And is there anything going on that, you know, people could come and... anything that you have going on for the office as far as downtown or, you know, in front of one of the offices, anything particularly going on at
this time?
Well,
we do always have things going on here. We're not want for activity
right.
in this part of the world. But I, one of the things that, like, this is one of my kind of pet peeves or my pet, that's not a pet peeve, I guess. It's my pet project. You know, we really need more people praying outside of abortion facilities.
Amen.
And there are vigils everywhere. So if you live in Bucks County, up at the Planned Parenthood in Warminster on Lewis Drive, there are people there from 9 until about 12 on Fridays.
Okay.
If you live in Delaware County in Media, there's a Planned Parenthood in Media, and they're there from noon until 1. They don't do abortions at that facility, but they do refer for them, and it's, they give out contraception, so it's actually a great place to talk with women. And they're there every Saturday. And then in the city, there's Comley Road on Saturday mornings.
Right.
8th and Cherry, 777 Appletree Street. We call it 8th and Cherry. But there's, we're usually there about 6:30 until 8:30. And then Planned Parenthood as well.
Right.
And so this coming weekend is the third Saturday, and there's the vigil at St. John's. So Mass is at 7. Then after Mass, you process over to the Planned Parenthood and pray there, and then go back to church for benediction. So it's really a great spiritual event, a spiritual day.
It is, indeed.
So anyone can do that. You know, some people are a little bit hesitant to go to things like that, and am I going to have to talk to somebody? I mean, I would only say that you'll talk to someone if they ask you a question, I'm
That's
sure.
That's right.
But you really don't. You just go. You go with your prayers, and you pray, and you ask these women. You know, you hope that the Holy Spirit moves in their lives, and they're receptive to God's grace, and they make a different choice. So that's really what we – that's one of the most important things that anyone can do, because there's just such an opportunity there. These women are walking in, and they're about to kill their child.
And people often think, what, you know, what difference does it make? Because you're not engaging with people, and pardon me, and you're not involved in any kind of conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it does make a difference, because let's face it, if you're willing to walk into that place, it, even the impact of people there praying, even on the hardest of hearts, has to convict the conscience somehow, even if it's on a very small scale. Enough people out there are praying. Also, it's the power of prayer that you have no idea. It might make an impact on one of the women walking in there, And she might go through those doors and change her mind. You just never know. But there's two or more gathered in his name. He's present. So when God is present, when the Lord is present, you can be sure that through those people gathering there, making a statement just by their own witness that they care enough to get out of their beds on an early Saturday morning and stand there in all kinds of weather, inclement weather, whatever it takes, they're there. And it's got to make a difference, even to the hardest of hearts.
Well, I'm sure that I know that it does. I mean, I've seen it make a tangible difference in that women actually change their minds.
Right.
And we see women having conversions right then and there. But that's not always the case. So the second thing is, if there is a bit like a Planned Parenthood on the third Saturday, if there's a big group there,
right,
you know, a lot of women are just going to walk away.
That's right.
They're not going to go in for that abortion. And if they walk away, there's a good chance they might not come back.
Right.
And then after that, there's just like the witness that you're making to the people who are involved in this industry.
Right.
You know, at some point they have to be asked a question why they're involved. And, you know, sometimes I mean, I hate to say this because I don't want it to make it sound like we are all responsible, but we are. You know, it's our apathy and our lack of involvement and our lack of commitment that allows people to continue to believe that it is okay to kill an unborn child.
Exactly.
You know, if we can't sacrifice, you know, a few times a year, I say to people, you know, once a month to get out of bed and get there outside of a facility and pray. And, you know, for a lot of people, they can't. You know, they have to be at home or they're housebound or things like that, or they have small children. But, you know, most people can do that at some point.
Right.
And in this area, you know, there's an abortion facility in Westchester. You know, you can't go 50 miles without hitting one of the abortion facilities.
That's right.
And so it's really important to do that, you know.
One of the other things, this particular upcoming Saturday, I believe, a very good friend of mine, and probably when Father John goes home to the Lord, I can imagine the Lord loud and clear saying, "Welcome, good and faithful servant." I don't know anyone that has done for, stood out there through all these years. Father John McFadden has made a tremendously powerful statement, a powerful witness for life. You know, right after his heart operation, he was right back. And right after that, it was snowing and rain. And, I mean, he's there.
Right.
And what does it say to him, too? You know, hey, you've made a difference in our lives, Father, because of your commitment. And that is one priest that is just a tremendous voice for life.
Yeah, he is. And, I mean, you've known him longer than I have, right, Kathleen?
Oh, yes, yes.
So, because he's been involved a lot with, that's your son-in-law leaving the building.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mark.
Yeah. He's been involved in so many aspects of, you know, the movement. And he's just been such a faithful, prayerful witness.
Yes, he has.
And it's just he's such a kindness, you know. And I think sometimes what people don't, I say this all the time, but when you become involved with this movement, you will meet some of the most unique people.
Yes.
But you will meet the loveliest people in the world.
I agree 100%.
You really do. And people are so, I look at our volunteers, and this is a great example. We have our office here in Montgomery County, and, you know, a lot of the women that come here, they probably, you know, they're grandmothers, and they have a little bit of extra time. So they come over and they stuff envelopes, or they help us make phone calls, they help us file or organize, and, you know, some of them used to go to the abortion facilities in the city and stuff a lot more, but now they're probably a little bit less likely to drive downtown or something.
Yes.
So they come here, but they still go to different things. And when you sit and you talk to all the women that we're, and men that we're blessed to know through this movement, and their inspiring stories,
right,
just like how the issue has affected them and how they've done something tangible in their life to fight it, some sort of activism. You know, whether that's stuffing an envelope or, you know, now in their later years or in their younger years out there praying at an abortion facility, just like such beauty and such such a witness of God's love. I don't even know how to describe it sometimes, because it's almost like you have to do it. And I've had the privilege and the honor of working in this movement. You know, I've been involved my whole life, but working in it in my adult life. And just, I never cease to be amazed and inspired. And sometimes, you know, people just, they're hesitant to get involved because they have a caricature of what they think the movement is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? They think, oh, there's someone standing there and they're mean, or they're standing there and they know what to say and I wouldn't know what to say. And everyone involved in this movement, they're just regular people. They saw the injustice of what was happening to unborn children, what was happening to women, and they wanted to do something to stop it. And they don't think about the years before. They don't, you know, they think about eternal life, but they don't think of what's ahead of them. They think, today, this is what I'm going to do for the unborn.
That's right.
And then it just affects your whole life in such a good way. And I hope that some people will just take that and just think, you know what, I'm going to go. I'm going to go down to an abortion facility, you know, one Saturday a month, and I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to go for a half hour. You know, I'm not going to go for that long. And I'm just going to stand there and pray.
Amen.
And it's a hard thing to do, but their life will be, you know, forever changed in a positive way. Because the first thing is, they will be, the injustice will be made painfully aware to them.
That's right.
And the corruption of the abortion industry, which so many of us were just blinded to. You know, we don't want it. We don't want to believe that our neighbors and our friends that call themselves pro-choice are as could be involved in something so evil. But when you're there at an abortion facility, you see the evil.
Absolutely.
And it's scary and it's frightening, but it compels you to do more. You know, because you have a chance to do something to stop it. I mean, one Hail Mary, I think, just set outside of one of those abortion facilities, you know, has got to do so much good.
Exactly, Edel.
And I just think it's such a beautiful movement, and you meet people like Father McFadden that you're just amazed by. And, you know, you see Father McFadden, you think you could have been one of the apostles.
Absolutely. I tell him all the time.
Yeah, but he's the kind of person that you're like, you can see the apostles in him.
Yep. Before he even opens his mouth, he's
Yeah, and
he's
I think if people just
witness.
Like, you're like, oh, I wonder what the apostles were really like. And I want to say, look at the priests involved in the pro-life movement. That's
absolutely. They really do die to themselves. And
yeah.
It's nothing glamorous about standing there and, you know, whether it's sunshine, rain, snow, sleet, Father McFadden is there. And as I said, I think this is going to be his last week here. He's retiring.
Right.
And he's moving. And what a beautiful, I know I'm not going to be able to go because I have a baby shower Saturday.
Okay.
Sunday. And we'll be preparing for that. But, I'm going to try to sneak down there because I think it would be a tremendous gift of encouragement, respect for Father McFadden to say, hey, we see what you've done. We will take the torch and job well done. So for him, I think it would be beautiful to go down and make a stand, let your voice be heard. A big thank you to Father McFadden.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
I'm off
great
my soapbox. We have a couple minutes left, Edel. And is there something that you'd like to say to our listeners before we do go off the air today?
I think I mentioned this last month, but I'm actually going to mention it again.
Okay.
I just would encourage everyone to add in their prayer intentions. Obviously, they pray for the pro-life movement
right.
and things. That more of the women that we talk with will be open to the option of adoption.
Amen.
And I've actually, on our website, I do have the little prayers there. If people wanted to join, you know, officially join our prayer group,
right.
which is just by telling me you're going to, because I have a list of people. And so it's just something we're really trying to promote, the idea of adoption, and that it's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, I know Mother Teresa was constantly talking about that.
Right.
That, you know, so many people want a child with all their heart and soul. They're praying and interceding before the throne of God for a baby, for a child. And this is, God works in strange ways, but he's, mm-hmm. many times he works through us, you know, sad to say, we are it. And the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. It's he who convinces the world of sin and righteousness as well as judgment. And so for all of us, we should absolutely take that to heart and to really begin to pray that these babies that are carried within the womb will come to full term. That's a great act of love for a mother to give up her child.
Yes, and when a woman makes an adoption plan like that, it's very empowering for her.
Yep.
And it's good for, you know, if it's meant to be. Not every person is meant to do that.
Right.
But it's just something, an overlooked option in our very abortion-minded world.
Right.
So,
well,
I think the best way to change that is through prayer.
Amen. Well, Adele, once again, it's always a delight to have you on. May God bless your efforts and all the work that the Pro-Life Union does down there. And may the Holy Spirit fall upon all of you in a new way. May he give you strength and grace for the journey. And may there be much fruit born through your efforts. God bless you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Bye, dear.
Bye.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we come to the time when we will close with prayer. And again, you know, we're coming up to Pentecost in a couple weeks. And we have to remember that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will indeed remind us that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You know, nothing at all. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, remember this, that Jesus is the light of the world, and he wants to dispel the darkness in your life. He wants to bring you into the power of his love, his healing love. And maybe you haven't been living the life that you know you should have been living. Well, this is an opportunity to go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Maybe you don't even know the words or how to pray. Just turn to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with grace and strength and courage. Ask him to guide you and lead you to go back to the sacrament of reconciliation, where you can be healed, renewed, strengthened, filled with grace, washed clean from the past. And God will use you powerfully, I assure you. He'll give you a new life of his Spirit within you, that you can go out and make a difference in the world. He's called all of us by name, every single one of us. He would have none of us lost. And so today, my brothers and sisters, pray for all those who are listening today. Pray for all the intentions of those young women that are carrying life within their womb, that they might indeed turn from death to life. And put up the adoption in their heart and in their mind for a family that would be eager and blessed to be able to receive that child. God's ways are not our ways. But for some reason, he works through us, weak as we are, sinful as we are. So this day, let us remember that God loves us. And there's nothing that could ever separate us from his love. God bless you.